Hey, thanks for listening to the Harvest Time Podcast. We hope today's message helps you know God in a real and powerful way.
This is the biggest and best served day that we've ever had, and we've been a part of this for a few years now. And thank you for jumping in, because serve day doesn't happen without you. And so this staff can't go out and do everything that needs to be done. And so, I want you to just hear me say thank you for all of the locations you went to. Thank you for serving with beautiful and wonderful hearts. You were the hands and feet of Jesus yesterday. We went to all kinds of places and did all kinds of things, but none of it happens without, number one, you getting in there and serving and volunteering, but none of it also happens without, it takes a little bit of finances to do that. You know that. You know it takes, we can't just go out to Sutherland's and ask for some flowers, and they probably, Matt, is that the way it works? If we just go down to Sutherland's, ask them if we could just have some flowers. We probably have to pay for that. And so we have to go and pay for flowers and the mulch and all the things that we do. But I just wanted to let you know that I want to give God glory for what happened yesterday here in our region, right here in Fort Smith and the surrounding area. I'm so thankful for you. Also, I want to say that every single person that you've given in the Kingdom Builder offering, thank you. Thank you for continuing to do that. You say, well, I'm new here. I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, great. I'm glad that you brought that up. Because we don't talk about money here a lot, but it takes money to do the things that we put some flowers and some mulch in some places in like Hope Campus and Community Rescue Mission. We did some things yesterday that cost a little bit of money. And how many of you know summertime is the time that generally attendance dips a little bit and the finances tend to dip just a little bit. I've been seeing y'all. Y'all been at the lake and y'all been at the beach. And I am excited that you're getting to do that. I celebrate that. It's good for you. It's a good, healthy rhythm to get into. But I want y'all to know why y'all at the beach. We're right here. Okay, so, and did you know that you can go to harvesttime.net/give and that you could hit reoccurring there and that your gifts can come in every single week, even when you're at the beach and then you don't have to do anything. I'm just throwing that out there, letting y'all know that I'm celebrating y'all. I'm celebrating God, celebrating what God is doing, and you've been generous and you've been giving, and y'all were on track to hit this Kingdom Builder offering. I'm telling you, a lot of y'all are giving every week. And that's what Carrie and I do. We give every paycheck. We give a percentage toward Kingdom Builders. So thank you for everybody that is doing that. But we also, if you say, I've never given anything, well, I want to talk to you too, because it doesn't matter where you start. It just matters that you just start. You can give something. There's no gift that's too small or too large that you can give to this, because it's going to make an impact in this community. You just saw on the screen, you just saw lots of great things. In fact, our friend Luke that's here today, I think it's interesting that you're here today. One of his best friends is Dino Rizzo. And y'all say, well, who's that? Well, he's the guy that started Serve Day internationally. It's one of his best friends. And so it's a really cool thing that Luke is here today on Serve Day. Did y'all know that Serve Day happened around the world? It was a global event, and it happened in churches, in thousands of churches all over the world yesterday. And we're a part of it, doing something outside of ourselves. And I just think that's a really cool thing. Let me give you one scripture that talks to you a little bit about just being a part of what we have going on here. This is 2 Corinthians 9. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. This is not pressure. I'm just throwing this out there. I'm just saying this is a softball right here. Don't give in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. So I'm putting this out there just today so that you would know that giving is what it takes. A little bit of money to do some of the things that we do. You realize that. It takes a little bit of money to keep Luke on the road heading back and forth to India. It takes a little bit of money for us to do the things that we do all over the world, but also right here locally. So I'm saying thank you. I'm saying thank you for continuing to give. And if you haven't given, start somewhere and start with something. Consider and ask the Lord what it is that He would have you to do. Okay, are you ready to move into the Word of God today? Matthew chapter 5, I know you got your Bibles. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We're here in this message series called Selfless. And I got a question for you. What would happen if we actually lived like that? Selfless. Selfless. This is what we're talking about here today. If you're brand new here, go to the Connect Corner out in the lobby. We just want to connect with you. Got a little gift there. If you're new, you're just trying to figure out what's going on around here, that's your first stop, Connect Corner. Here we go, Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he, meaning Jesus, went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Let's pray. Father, I just come to you today with a thankful heart. Lord, I'm thankful. I'm just so thankful, Lord, at what you're doing. What you're doing in the hearts and the lives of believers today. Lord, we're making disciples. Lord, turn us and make us more like you. Hold us in your hands, God, and mold us into who you want us to be. I pray, Father, that we would make a great impact on this community, that we would continue, that serve day would not be one day, Lord, that it would become every day. Lord, we can't tell you how thankful we are for who you are in our life, for what you've done for us. We just have to pause and acknowledge you and say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Selfless versus selfish. Flesh versus spirit. Our way versus his way. This selfless living is countercultural. It's different. It's counter self. His will versus our will. Our will will lead to destinations of pain and destruction and even deception. I put this out on the screen today because I think it's important that we understand this, that selfless living is kingdom living. Selfless living is kingdom living. Living for the king rather than living for self. Or can I say living for the king rather than just being a humanist? Of putting yourself on the throne of God. Because many times we know better than God. And so what we've done is when we know better than God, what we've done is we've made ourselves an idol. You see, this is the way it works. And thank you to those that got me this clay. At first service, I made a mess. I just made a mess. This is clay. And I want you to imagine that these are not my hands, but these are God's hands. Okay, you got an imagination? I'm not God, but for a minute, imagine that these are God's hands. And imagine that this lump of clay, and that's just what it is, it's just a lump. Imagine this lump of clay is you, okay? So here's what we do. We say, Lord, come into our life. Forgive us of our sins. Lord, we're just so thankful that you've forgiven us of our sins. Make us more like you. We start on this journey of becoming a disciple. And so the Lord starts molding us. We're just this lump of not much. And so the Lord starts using us, and he starts forming us, and he starts making us usable. And so what he does, and y'all, I'm terrible at this, okay? I'm not good at this at all. I've never done this. Do we have any potters in the house? Like, you're not a potter, but what do you call that? Potter? Is it a potter? Anybody here, y'all, you know, the potter's wheel, and you do this? Is there anybody here that does this? Y'all be much better than me. But anyway, Easton's looking at my grandson's here today, y'all. I'm excited. All right, so he's making us into something, all right? And so what he does is he takes a lump, and this is my best attempt at a bowl, okay? This is a bowl, okay? Thank you, Travis. I appreciate you, buddy. If you think you can do this better, y'all just come on up here and I'll let you do it. But he's making us into something. All right, he knows what he's created us, and he knows what he wants us to do and who he wants us to be. And so he's created us into this bowl. All right, so here's my, I'm not God, but this is the best I could do with you, okay? I'm just teasing, relax, y'all. This is a hard sermon. I got to put some sugar on it, okay? So here's the deal. This is us in God's hands. And hey, remember, when you're in the king's hands, now you're really usable. Because, see, look at this. This is pathetic. Okay? This has imperfections. It is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. It's not perfect. It's ugly. Somebody says it's ugly. See, I know y'all are all perfect. Okay? But me, I'm imperfect. I've got some imperfections, and God's still working on me. Anybody here, God's still working on you? Okay, we got the right crowd here today. Y'all are much more responsive. That first crowd, it was like rolling a bowling ball uphill. But I want y'all to know, this is like, when you're in the king's hands, you can be shaped and molded. You see what I'm talking about? When you're in a king's hand, you can be used. But I want you to know one thing. There's pressure in this world. There's some tension in the room today. You're right now, you're looking at this. There's some tension here because let me tell you something. Here's what the world is doing to you. The world is squeezing you. The world is trying to conform you into the world's image. And the world is lying to you. And what the world does is the world squeezes us. I'm talking about Romans 12 right now. If y'all remember 2 weeks ago, we talked about Romans 12. This is what the world wants you to adopt, the world's system and the world's values. And you forget what's really important, and you start this, you ask for forgiveness, and you start this journey, and you start to be transformed and molded into who God wants you to be, and you start being used, and you're usable because you're in the potter's hands, you're in the king's hands, and all of a sudden, all those imperfections, they're not really seen anymore. You're just becoming, we don't even see you. We're just seeing what God's doing through you. It's the power that is in you, not your own power, but this is what happens. The world starts to squeeze you. And when the world starts to squeeze you, what happens is you don't even realize it sometimes, because this world that's pressuring us and squeezing us and wants us to live opposite other than this book and what this book says, and they'll tell you, students, they'll tell you at school, they're going to tell you all kinds of stuff. And they're going to tell you that, oh, if you believe this old book, well, it's just an old book and there's some decent ideas in there. But there's some things in there that you can pitch out. There's some things in there you don't need to listen to because it's just an old book written by a bunch of men. This is what the world's going to tell you. And I'm going to tell you something. This is the inspired word of God. It is infallible. I'm going to tell you something. You can take every word of this and you can take this to the bank. And the reason why I know this is because there's principles in here. And if you will live by these two, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is there anybody here today you believe that God is God and we are the creation and that we are not God and that we must live according to how he tells us to live? This is why most people today are just selfish, because we know better than God. So we're going to look at this Sermon on the Mount, this most famous message that Jesus teaches about, Matthew chapter 5. And we're talking about this, if you ever heard this word, this term called Beatitudes. Beatitudes, okay? This takes you back to Sunday school. The blessed ones, or the doorways to blessings. If you live like this, if you live according to kingdom ways, these qualifications, then you're going to be blessed. This is the way it works. You'll live a happy life if you belong into the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want to show you a photo from like three months ago. If you went to Israel with me, this photo was taken, you'll know exactly, this is taken up on Mount Arbel. They're going to put this beautiful picture up here. I believe they are. And so this is the Sea of Galilee. And this is about what it looked like even in the time of Jesus right here. It didn't have a highway that looked like that, but it did have a road. The road kind of went right there through there. But this is the area in which Jesus did this famous this famous message of the Sermon on the Mount. I just wanted to put it in context. I want you to see that. Sea of Galilee, right up here is the northern side. Nazareth is over here, and Tiberias is behind us right down here, and Capernaum's down here too. Dr. Stan's like, yep, I remember, I was there, I took that picture. Okay, so here's the scene. This is the scene in which this message was written. I want you to understand that the world has some me attitudes. Okay? And as believers, we've been given some be attitudes. This is the way we should be. There's either selfish or selfless. So that this is the attitudes that we should be. Okay? Not me attitudes, the be attitude. This is how we should be. Anybody you know somebody's got an attitude? Don't look at your wife right now, please. Sir, it is not a good time. I'm just teasing. I love Donnie. You know somebody's got an attitude. See, this is what's the motivator behind attitudes most of the time? Self. Selfish. We got our grandkids. Y'all, Easton, come here. Come here. Just come. Just run up here right fast. Just come right here. I want everybody to see you. Just stand up. Stand up and say howdy. Stand up. Just say howdy. Can you just put your hand up? Okay, there you go. There you go. That's my buddy. That's fella right there. We've had him and his sister at our house for 3 nights, and it's been glorious. love that kid, but after 3 days they start to get little. They was a little selfish last night. Carrie calls me and she says, "Hey, are you going to be long? Because I'm doing all I can here." But what happens is we're all selfish. I'm selfish. I'm being honest. You're selfish. We're born like this, okay? We're born selfish. You don't have to teach a kid to say, that's mine, okay? So last night, there might have been some of that going on at my house. I'm not throwing him under the bus. I love the little boy. Look how cute he is. I'm so glad you're here, Easton. Pops and Nanny loves you so much. I love you, buddy. All right, anyway, I'm moving on. I'm just getting a little distracted because my grandson's here, y'all. My granddaughter is back there in the nursery. So Jesus is calling us to not live selfish. He's calling us to live selfless. And this is a different way of living. This is countercultural. This is the kingdom of heaven minded. This is what he's talking about, because when Christ becomes the king, kingdom behaviors follow. When Christ becomes the king, kingdom behaviors follow. Without a king, there is no kingdom. Okay, I want you to understand this. If there's no king, there's no kingdom. And I'm going to give you two observations from the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to give you two observations from the Sermon on the Mount, and then I'm going to give you 3 points, and we're all going to go. Okay? We're going to do this real quick. Y'all ready? Y'all believe I can do this? I got 16 minutes, and I'm gonna be like fire. Y'all ready? Here we go. Two observations from the Sermon on the Mount. Number one, the first observation is this. It is all about our relationship with others. The Sermon on the Mount, just one observation from the Sermon on the Mount, it has everything to do with our relationship with other people. In fact, the Sermon on the Mount has very little to do with the relationship with God. Everything to do with your relationship with other people, because it's easy to love God, but it is hard to love people sometimes. Talk is cheap. You can say you love people, but how you act is that's the fruit. The proof is in the pudding, all right, of whether you actually love someone or not. Matthew 3, verse 8, John the Baptist here, he said, therefore let bear fruits worthy of repentance. The NLT translation says it like this. It says, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins. Prove by the way that you live that you have repented of your sins and you've turned to God. The proof of discipleship is not that you carry your Bible to church or that you make it here 3 consecutive Sundays in a row. The proof of your discipleship and the proof of your repentance and the proof of your selfless living is by the way you live. I'm waiting on some of y'all to jump on. This is just right at you preaching. But and look at your neighbor right now and just ask him this question. What if we actually lived like this? What if we lived like, what if we live selfless, more selfless? That's what we're trying to do. And y'all, I'm praying that y'all stay the good second crowd, that y'all stay with me, okay? Proof of selfless living is not how loud you can shout and how many worship songs you know, or even if you speak in tongues. The proof that's in the pudding is how you treat other people, because you cannot say you love the Lord and treat other people very poorly. In fact, you can't say that you're a disciple and cuss out your coworkers. You can't say that you love Jesus and don't leave a good tip today. I don't care what kind of service you received and you didn't get your butter within 30 seconds. I'm sorry. But y'all tip well. Listen, pagans always behave as pagans. How are we supposed to stand out and be salt and light in this world unless we're a little salty? Unless we got some flavor? Unless we stand out? Unless we're different than the world, y'all? All right, I'm going to stop that. Y'all know y'all aren't getting with me here. Ephesians 2 says this, for we are God's, we're God's handiwork. I'm going to do my best, make a bowl. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to think, to do good works. You know, I've been praying for them people. I'm doing my best to make a bowl. This thing is just terrible. I'm going to stop. We're created in Christ's handiwork, in Christ, to do good works. To do. Last week, Pastor Chad said who we are, or our identity. Our identity informs our purpose. God's working in us. He's creating us, and we're in his hands, and he's creating us to be a bowl, to be used for him. Imperfect. We're a cracked pot. Any cracked pots here today? There's a bunch of cracked pots here today. But if you're in God's hand and you're imperfect, and we know you're imperfect because you're just like me. We're just like everybody else. We're imperfect, but it's whose hands you are in and how you're being molded and how you're allowing him to change you into who he wants you to be, whether you're going to find your purpose or not. Two observations, Sermon on the Mount. I'm flying right now. It's all about our relationship with others. That's number one. Hopefully you're taking notes. This is a note-taking church, right? All right, you're taking notes. Here we go. And the second thing I want you to know, this is just an observation. Everything Jesus asks us to do is not the easiest thing to do. Jesus is preaching. Jesus is teaching right here. Selfless living is not what you want to do. Selfless living is doing what you would not normally do. That's selfless living. Jesus says, be careful when you're on social media. Well, he didn't say that, but he kind of said it like that. Y'all, give me a little license today. Jesus said, it's in here, kind of like this. When you're on social media and you see something that you don't agree with, Jesus says, I don't know if you know this, but you got any baseball fans here? Luke's a baseball fan. He's an Astros fan. I'm praying he gets relieved of that. It's been a tough year if you're a Cardinal fan, okay? I'm just going to tell you that straight up. But in baseball, if you're in the batter's box, I don't know if you know this, but you don't have to swing at every pitch. It's low and away. Just leave that one out there. You can't do nothing with it anyway. That's, if you see a political ad on the gram, you see something you don't like one of your friends, and you don't like, did you know that you don't have to swing at that pitch? Just keep scrolling. Thank you, Misty. Misty understands what I'm talking about. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Ask yourself this question. This is what Jesus is trying to say. Ask yourself this question. If I'm about to post something, how is this going to affect my witness? Because you might be right, but you're not justified. How is this going to affect my ability to be able to speak to the person that I've been praying for? Because y'all, the whole world sees it. How is this going to affect my credibility in the future? Because I've been praying for my ones. Hopefully you're praying for your ones. Hopefully you have compassion for those that do not know Christ. The motivator in which why we do everything that we do, but it's countercultural. It's not intuitive. It's very, very difficult. It's hard, and it's not easy. All right, I'm going to give you, there's principles and promises that we're about to learn. I gave you the two observations that I just observed that from the Sermon on the Mount. Now I'm going to give you the 3 points, and then we're all going to go. All right, three themes of the Beatitudes. Are you ready? You're going to write these down, I hope. The first theme of the Beatitudes that we just read from that passage is humility. You find this in verses 3-5. We need some more humility. The second thing you're going to find is justice. You find that in verses 6-8. The third theme you're going to find is peace, and you find that in verse 9 and 10. This world would be better if some more disciples would live more humbly. Thank you all, two of you. Humbly. This is opposite of prideful. We talked about that 2 weeks ago in Romans 12. Opposite of prideful. This is, humility is selfless. Humility is saying, I need to live with others in mind, not myself in mind. So I'm going to give you some kingdom ethics here. Are you ready? All right. Write these down. So humility is number one. This is the first theme. First theme I want to talk about. You find this in verse 3-5. This is the poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek. Blessed, this is verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When I was a kid, I was like, what is poor in spirit? I don't want to be poor in spirit. That sounds terrible. But what is poor in spirit? Because there was a promise that went with that. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Maybe I need to know what the poor in spirit is. So the poor in spirit, there's two kinds of people in the world. Two kinds. That's it. There's just two kinds. There's the kind of people that they don't need God. They reject the Holy Spirit. They reject God. They know better than God. And you can tell because their life is jacked up. Okay? And then there's another kind of person that says, I need God. You know, in fact, God, I don't even, Winter, I don't know what to do today. I have no clue what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do this. Lord, I need you right now. I need you to tell these feet where to go. I need you to tell me who I need to hang out with. I need you to tell me how I can love my wife more. I need you to tell me how to raise these kids. I need you to tell me how to help these grandkids. I need you to help me to be able to stay saved at work so I keep my witness at work so I can pray for these ones and see them come to you. I need you to help me. I can't do this on my own, because if I do this on my own, I know I'm going to mess this up. I need thee, Lord, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need you every minute. I need you every hour. I need you every second. Lord, I need you. I can't do this without you. There are just two kinds of people. I don't need you, Lord. Or I need you. See, there's some people, they don't need the Lord. They prove it by how they live. And what happens is, there's this principle, and then there's a promise. Blessed are the poor in spirit. There's your principle. Here's your promise. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's a pretty good promise. When you invite the Holy Spirit, when you invite God to order your steps, when you invite him into your realm and into your world, when he becomes the king of your heart and his kingdom means more than your kingdom, when you invite him into your world, God will order your steps and he will open some doors that no man can open. He will heal you. He will break. There'll be breakthroughs that occur in your life. Irregular things in the supernatural can be yours and will be yours because you walk with him and he walks with you, and you say, God, I need you more than anything else in my life. I need you, Lord. See, the problem is there's so many people that got used to living without God. Nothing supernatural ever happens with them. They stiff arm the Holy Spirit every time. Say, God, I don't need you. There's two different kinds of people. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. He's close to the brokenhearted. I'm just going to say this right now. You can't have a room with this many people in it and that there's somebody here that you're not brokenhearted. There's some people here, you're in mourning right now. You've lost someone close to you. I want you to hear me say this. The Lord, He sees you. He acknowledges you. You're in mourning right now. The promise is He will comfort you. He will comfort you. That's good news right there. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. This is verse 5. Meek was his humble or patient, patiently waiting upon the Lord. Those that wait upon the Lord, their strength will be renewed. Those that are patient and they wait and they're humble, they walk humbly before the Lord. They're patiently waiting on God to fight the battle. Every time I try to fight my own battle, I mess it up every time. But here's what I know. In fact, Carrie and I, we've been praying for something for months now. We've been praying for a breakthrough, and we got a breakthrough this week because we allowed God to fight the battle for us. What we said was, we said, Lord, we don't even understand this. We have no clue why this happened. This doesn't seem right. It's not right. We know it's not right. But what we did was we gave it to God. We didn't tell a bunch of people a bunch of stuff. All we did, we said, God, we know that you're going to take care of this. Because here's what happens when you wait upon the Lord and you let Him fight the battle for you. Here's what He'll do. He'll open the windows of heaven for you. He will be there for you. You say, I need a job. He will give you a job, and He will also feed you while you're waiting on that job. He will take care of you, and He will be the God of your life and the God of your heart, and anything that you need, you just ask of Him, and everything that you need, it will be supplied and taken care of. Those that are meek and those that wait upon the Lord. Three themes. That was humility. Three themes of Beatitudes. We're on the second one. We're almost done. Ask somebody next to you, what if we lived like this? What if the church lived like this? Justice. It's the second theme here of this Beatitudes, of this passages that we've read. Hunger for what is right. Merciful and pure in heart. We're going to look at this right now. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, or right standing with God. How many of y'all want to be right standing with God? How many of y'all, you want to please God? You want to do right. You want to be right and you want to do right. You want your choices to reveal that you are hungry and thirsty for things of righteousness. You want your behavior to please God. You want your decisions to bear the fruit that says that you are hungry and thirsty for His righteousness. You want to honor God with your finances and your money. You want to please Him for all of the things that He's doing. You want your energy to be spent for Him. You're hungry and thirsty for right standing with God. The problem is, there's a lot of people that they just want to be in right standing with people. And they don't care about what God thinks. It's like, if you want to be filled, you want to be satisfied with the things of God. He'll satisfy. He will give you satisfaction. It's like, heard my dad say amen. He loves to go eat Chinese food. It's like eating Chinese food. About an hour later, you are hungry again. Every time I eat Chinese food, I think I am starving. I'm going to go eat Chinese food. And about an hour and a half later, I am starving again because I'm not satisfied. That's what the world's going to tell you. You need more money. You need another vacation. You need to be chasing some education. You're going to chase some alcohol. You're going to chase some drugs. You're going to chase some wild women. You're going to chase. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. All that stuff is not going to satisfy you. It's a momentary thrill, but there is no fulfillment in any of those things. When you turn your life to Jesus and you say, I'm going to live selflessly. I don't want to live the way I want to live anymore. I'm going to sell out to God. I want to live for Him and make Him happy, be in right standing with God. That's when you'll be satisfied. Joining a church, don't do it. You can join this church and you still not be satisfied. God says, I want your heart. I don't need your stuff. I want your heart, because if I have your heart, if you will be right with me, you will do right. Now remember, there's two kinds of people. I don't need God. And I need thee, Lord, I need thee. There's two kinds of people. So listen, if he has your heart, you will do right. I'm curious about this millennial generation. I love these young people around here. These young people, they're like ants around here, y'all. They're here all week long. They're like ants. They're here all the time. These interns, I love them. I love hanging out with them. And you know what I'm doing? I'm asking questions because I'm trying to get inside their head. I'm trying to figure out how they think. There's something about this generation. I will give them this. They want justice. They want to see justice. They want to do something. They want to do something righteous. They want to see that come to pass. And I'm just trying to learn to be around them. I'll give that to them for sure because they put their money where their mouth is. They do things because of injustice. They want to see justice. But I'm going to make a statement right now, and of course, I'm not that popular anyway, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I told you 2 weeks ago, I'm not a politician. I'm not running for any office. So I'm just a pastor. I'm a moral voice in this community to tell you what the scripture says. Social justice issues are not black and white issues. They are right and wrong issues. And I want you to understand the difference here. Now we can clap, but I want you to hear something. I'm going to prove it from the Word of God. I want you to see this right here. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. There was only two. And he created them, and God blessed them. He blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So be fruitful, multiply, subdue it, dominion over the birds and the living things and the creatures that walk upon the face of the earth. But God did not say to subdue any other humans. That's God's nature. That's not in God's nature. It's never been right, and it will never be right. And if you have any racism in you, or you believe this whole thing, all of this is wrapped up in what is actually right and what is actually wrong. And slavery and racism have never been right. They've always been wrong, and we're facing the things that we face because of the wickedness of our own hearts. This is not a world that is right because of sin. Micah 6:8 says this. This is about doing what's right. This is about justice. He has shown you, oh man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you and me? Watch this. But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. What you do comes from a revelation of who you are in Christ, because your behavior follows your belief. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I need mercy, so I'm going to give some mercy. I need a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, 1,000, 5,000 chance. I need 10,000 chances, so I'm going to give some mercy. Is there anybody here you need some mercy? Well, here, let me tell you how you get it. Watch this. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Look at somebody next to you. Ask them, what if we live this way? Three things of the Beatitudes. You didn't think I could do it, and you were right. Humility, justice. Third one is peace. We're about to get out of here. Third one is peace, verse 9 through 11. Peacemaker, persecuted, reviled. What if the church lived in peace? What if the church was full of peacemakers? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called who? The children of God. How many of you want to be a child of God? You will be blessed if you make peace. Seek peace with people. Seek peace wherever you can find peace and take steps to make peace. Do you know anybody that they just love to fight? Please don't look at your wife right now. It's not a good idea. You know, people, they like to stir up contention. Contention. They're cantankerous. Is that a word? That's still cantankerous. Young people's like, I don't even know what that means. You know people that they just like to stir up, here you go, young people, drama. They like to stir up drama. That is the opposite of how God wants us to live. In fact, the peacemakers, they go the extra mile. Romans says it like this, Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. With who? The people you agree with? The people that you like? No. With everyone. As far as it depends on you. Y'all, I can't control what you do. I can barely control myself. I just know I need the Lord to be at peace with people. Blessed are the peacemakers. We need some peacemakers. Don't be satisfied living in unresolved, chaotic mess. Live at peace with everyone that you can and do all that you can. God loves peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Here's the promise. They'll be called children of God. Now, there's some things that are so egregious that have been done to you, and it has been so painful, and you've been done wrong, so done wrong. I'm not talking about you reconciling those kind of stuff. If do you understand what I'm trying to say? If you've been wrong, there's certain things that if you've been wronged, I'm not telling you that you've got to go work every situation out. But what I'm saying is, like, I just didn't like the way he looked at me today. I didn't like the tone that he used when he addressed me. Well, get over yourself. Maybe they had a bad day. I'm not talking about like this abuse. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay, so you following what I'm saying? I always try to balance this thing out, because I don't want you to believe that if you've been so deeply affected by something that's so egregious, that is so against God's word, that's not what I'm talking about. But as much as you can, be a peacemaker. Because blessed are those who persecuted because of righteousness. Because of what? Because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you decide to do right, when you decide to take a stand, when you decide to go against the flow, students, when you decide to do things that are counter to what the word of God says, what they're going to do is they're going to call you names. You're going to get dropped like a hot rock. And that's okay. You know, listen, if somebody runs out on you, girl, you know what I'm talking about? I'm looking right here at this little kid that's fixing to go to Peru with me. Y'all, she's a woman of God. How old are you? 17 years old. She loves the Lord. She's full of the Holy Spirit. She's fixing to go to Peru. Let me tell you something. He said, if they drop you because of your belief and because you believe the word of God, that's fine. Let them walk away. Let me tell you something. You're better off. And you don't have a bad heart against them, but you still pray for them. That's what I'm talking about, y'all. That's just beautiful. And y'all, this is Matt Lowe's last service with us. He's running off to Denver? He's running off to Colorado. I love you. I love the Lowe's. I just love this family. I just love this family so much. Y'all, I've been persecuted even here recently. I have people say, can you believe he preached on that? Can you believe some of the things coming out of his mouth? Can you believe he said those things? He's too strong. Like that, you just can't say stuff like that now. These are just not right. Y'all, listen. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you, if it's in this book, I'm going to preach it. And I'm just going to stand on the word of God. Because the culture doesn't mind telling you false narratives. The culture, in fact, the culture's screaming at you. And I'm not going to scream, but this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand on the word of God. Because the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me, Dad. I'll stand upon the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. If you get persecuted for believing this, it's okay. Because what does the Bible say? The Bible says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Look, if I get persecuted for just being bold enough to say that abortion is wrong, that killing an innocent child in the womb is murder, if I get persecuted because of that, so be it. If I get persecuted because I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, so be it. If I get persecuted because I preach against divorce because God hates it, then so be it. Remember your vows. I want to be in right standing with God. I want to be in right standing with man, yes, as much as I can. But listen, if it's against the book, I'm going to preach it. Look at this. In the last days, persecution is going to be intense. 2 Corinthians 4. We are hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Amos 5 says it like this. Amos 5:21. I hate all your show and pretense. This is a New Living Translation. The hypocrisy of your religious festivals and your solemn assemblies. I will not accept your burnt offerings and your grain offerings. I won't even notice all your choice peace offerings. Away with your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice, an endless river of righteous living. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Not my way, Lord, your will, not my will. Less of me and more of you. Selfless living. Listen, serve day was just one day, but you can't live every day selflessly until you live one day selfless. Stand with me across the house today. This is not a popular message. I know that. There's some things that I'm sure that there's plenty of people you disagree with me about. But there's one thing you can't disagree with me about, and that is the Word of God that says that if you want to see the kingdom of heaven on this earth, then you got to live by these principles that I just taught you today. They're not easy to do. In fact, I stepped on some toes today, and I knew I would. I'm just preaching the Word to you, y'all. I love you enough to tell you the truth. I tell you in love. I tell you in love. But we must align with the kingdom principles in order to, so the people will know that Jesus is our king. There's no kingdom without a king. Now there's some people in the room today. You say, Pastor, this has been a good service. I've experienced something. I've felt something that I haven't felt in a long time. And you said some things that's kind of jarred. That it's shown me that I've let the world conform me. I've been squeezed by the world. In fact, there's some things around me that I've not been thinking right. That's probably true. There's some people here today that you say, Pastor, I've not been living for the Lord. I've not been living right. I need to ask for forgiveness of my sins. If Jesus Christ was to come or call for me today, I don't think I'd be ready to meet him. I don't know that I know that I know that I would meet him without I'd have a place in heaven. And so for the next minute, with every person, with every eye open and no heads bowed and nobody moving around, nobody leaving right now, this is a solemn moment. Here's what I want to ask you a question. If you need to ask for forgiveness of your sins, I just want you to put your hand up and I want you to leave it up right here. I want to pray for you. Yeah, I'm not going to have you come forward. I wouldn't embarrass you for anything in the world. But if you want to ask for God bless you. You want to ask for forgiveness of your sins. You want to ask for forgiveness, just put your hand up. Just put your hand up and let me see who I'm praying for. Is anybody over here? Okay, right here in this center section, anybody you say, I need to ask for forgiveness of my sins. If that's you, just put your hand up, sir. Put your hand up, ma'am. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to have you come forward. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. Anybody over here, one over here, just want to see. I want to know who I'm praying for. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. There's been a lot of people raise their hands. Y'all, let me tell you what's about to happen. We're going to say a prayer. Every person in this room is going to say this prayer with me. There's not going to be one person saying this prayer by themselves. We're going to say this all together. I can't do your praying for you. I can help you pray. If you'll repeat a prayer after me, I'm going to believe that the Lord is going to forgive you of every sin. And he's going to forget it. And you're going to become a disciple. And you're going to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what I know is going to happen. So are you ready to pray? Church, are four of you, are y'all ready to pray? Come on, church, let's pray this together. Father God, thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for this message. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I don't want to live that way anymore. I need a Savior. Thank you for forgiving me. I want to live a life for you. I want to turn from my old ways and become a disciple and live for you the rest of the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we celebrate today?
Thanks again for listening today. If you want to know more about our church, find us on social media or visit harvesttime.net. See you next time.